Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, October 15th, 2015. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, homebrewer Ray Sykes shares some delicious mushroom beers. Steve and I find that mushrooms aren't just for picking off pizzas anymore. If you're new to home brewing, would like to get into the hobby for the first time, check out our website, basicbrewing.com, where you can find archives of our audio and video podcasts and our DVDs to walk you through basic and more advanced brewing techniques. And if you buy any of our DVD combos, you get a free Basic Brewing bottle opener. You can follow me on Twitter. My username is Basic Brewing, all one word. We also have a Basic Brewing Radio and Basic Brewing Video page on Facebook at facebook.com/basicbrewing. We're on the Google Plus as well. Thanks again to everybody clicking on the Amazon.com associate link on our basicbrewing.com site. Very important. Whenever you think of Amazon shopping, think of us first. Go to basicbrewing.com. Click on that link on the right-hand side of the page. It'll take you to Amazon. You won't notice anything. It won't cost you any extra, but you'll be helping us to bring you the show, and we greatly, greatly appreciate your support. We have associate links for Brew Your Own Magazine and the American Homebrewers Association to work the same as well. In fact, there is a new link for the electronic version of Brew Your Own Magazine on the site as well. You can find our Basic Brewing iPhone app on iTunes, our Android app on Amazon.com. We have a Windows phone app. We're on the BlackBerry podcast directory, and we're in the Stitcher app as well. If you want to put a tip in our tip jar, some coinage in our guitar case, so to speak, you can go to basicbrewing.com/support, and thanks to everybody who's done so already. Steve and I are going to get together later this week to shoot a Basic Brewing video episode on my kind of weird but tasty Oktoberfest beer. Bruce down at the home brewery in Fayetteville heard that I was trying to brew an Oktoberfest quickly, and so he called it an Oktoberfast. Man, I wish I'd thought of that. I thought I'll give Bruce props for coming up with the Oktoberfast title. I have given Steve a preview of the beer, and he approves, so that should be a fun show. Let's shake the dust off the mailbag, shall we? Gert, who is a contract brewer in Belgium working towards founding his own brewery, wrote after the triple episode with Chris Colby. Gert says, if you compare Westmalle triple and Duvel, maybe there's no big difference between triple and strong golden ale, but in Belgium there is more or less a consensus that triple is sweeter, most of the times very sweet, and strong golden ale is more dry. Strong golden is pure pils malt with lots of sugar. Triple can also have darker pale malt and a bit of caramalt, and of course sugar, but less than a strong golden. And triple has much more esters or fruit and phenols or spicy. And Gert says, to make it more confusing, although triple is associated with blonde beer, in fact, triple can also be dark. Chimay Blue and Rochefort 8, for instance, are dark triples, not dibbles or quadruples. and something about pronunciation. I might have tipped my hat there with the pronunciation of double. Your pronunciation of triple was good. It's not tripel, but triple. D-U-B-B-E-L is close to the pronunciation of double, and absolutely not like you guys pronounced it in the show. and Gert says, another episode was hilarious. Your guest pronounced Roselaire, R-O-E-S-E-L-A-R-E as Roselaire, which is wrong. This word has got four syllables, Ro-se-la-re. So there you go. Thanks, Gert. By the way, you can check out Gert's brewery website at keun.be. I'm going to guess kun, keun.be. Good luck, Gert, on your new brewery. And then John, who has a degree in English linguistics and literature from Nijmegen University. See, I'm from Arkansas. I'm just guessing. Nijmegen, looks like Nijmegen, wrote in to say that John writes in to say we pronounce triple pretty well and sent a YouTube link to someone pronouncing what we're calling double. And I'm not going to lift the audio here, although I might post the link on our Facebook page. But to me, it sounds more like dibble. Dibble. John closes with a postscript. He says, on the distinction between triple and strong golden ale, I believe it's the same as with the difference between porter and stout. Not very are very much open for debate. Well, there you go. Thanks, John and Gert. I love the fact that we have smart listeners from all over the world who will share information to help us out. And now, whether I can actually retain any of that information is yet to be seen. And speaking of my diminished mental capacity, I've been wanting to mention this for a long time, and I've kept forgetting. A while back, author and artist Mark Brewer asked me if I would write a blurb for the back of his book of beer terms and illustrations called Brewology. And he sent me a PDF of the book, and I thought it was very well done. It's sort of a dictionary of beer and brewing terms, and Mark has drawn cartoons to illustrate many of them. And I wrote this for the back of the book. I said, it's brewing textbook meets Mad Magazine. The hilarious and sometimes irreverent illustrations will keep you laughing and turning the pages, and you just might learn something to impress your fellow beer lovers. I was very flattered to be asked to provide a quote for the back of the book, and while the audience for this podcast probably knows all the terms in the book, the illustrations, I think, are pretty funny. and they do remind me of Mad Magazine in the style, especially in the 70s and early 80s when I read Mad Magazine. I have it on my coffee table here in the studio. So, and I every day after I post the podcast, I walk by the book and say, "Don't, I didn't mention it." So, anyway, check out Brewology by Mark Brewer, and that is not a paid endorsement, by the way. I got this email from Aaron. Aaron says, "My wife couldn't sleep this morning, which means I couldn't sleep this morning. Instead of lying in bed, I decided to brew. I've been wanting to do a 15-minute pale ale ever since I heard you talk about it, and today was the perfect opportunity. Took about an hour and a half from when I started running water to the end of cleanup. Holy smokes. Oddly enough, this was my very first extract batch, which I'm interested to see how it turns out. I'm sure any quality issues from using extract will be covered up by the 8 ounces of Mosaic, Amarillo, and Topaz hops." And he attached an image of the hop goop in his kettle. And there was a lot of it. I bet that was a tasty beer. As I promised last week, I did my own 15-minute pale ale. And I used I only used 3 ounces of Cascade, though, in my 15-minute boil. My brew day from turning on the heat to pitching the yeast was only an hour and 15 minutes. Cleanup was not that much since I only used the kettle and the immersion chiller. Is a quick brew day thanks to the awesome electric brewing system from our sponsors Desiree and Dave from High Gravity in Tulsa. And I haven't mentioned this in a while, but you can see Steve and me demonstrate my High Gravity electric brew-in-a-bag system at youtube.com/highgravitybrew. There are two videos there, one on setting up your system for the first time, and then the second one, Steve and I actually brew a batch of beer on it. But High Gravity sells more than just the single vessel systems. Go to highgravitybrew.com to check out their three-tier electric brewing systems for those who are more traditionally minded. The build-your-own brewing system feature on the site lets you customize your system to fit your needs. High Gravity offers systems that can brew 5 gallons all the way to 2 barrels. You can choose from a variety of controllers that control your heat and pumps. You can pick the one that is right for you. And for ingredients and many other products, High Gravity offers $7.99 flat rate shipping. You can check out all of that at highgravitybrew.com. And we appreciate Desiree and Dave's continued support of this program. Okay, I was kidding at the beginning of the show, at the top of the show, when I said I picked the mushrooms off my pizza. I love mushrooms, but I'm really only familiar with the common ones that you find at the grocery store. So I was really impressed by the flavors that mushrooms bring to the homebrews of Ray Sykes. Well, Ray Sykes, welcome to Basic Brewing Radio.
Well, thank you, James. It's been great talking to you. I've been listening to many, many podcasts and learned so much. Hopefully, I got a little something to contribute.
You have taught us something for sure already with the beers that we tasted, Steve and I tasted. We thought they were all wonderful. And so I can't wait to hear some information about how the beers were brewed. So first of all, give us a little background. How did you get into brewing with mushrooms?
I always like cooking with indigenous ingredients. I got a 5-acre piece of property, and I'd love to call it my little farm, but it's not. But whatever I could forage and cook off here, I like to do it. I'm involved in a local beer club that actually we kind of go hiking and drinking beer and making gourmet meals. And the idea to me came up and saw some, seeing some mushrooms, and we like beer, like mushrooms, make some mushroom beer. I was also inspired by Randy Bozier, Randy Radical Brewing book, fantastic book. I almost feel like a kindred spirit to him. I mean, he likes making his own equipment. I enjoy that. He likes trying different things. I like trying that. So basically, Randy kind of inspired me. I mean, he gave a couple base recipes. I read the book. It was several years later. I got involved in a local mushroom club, the Mid-Hudson Mycological Society, a great group of people. And I decided, you know, I like mushrooms. I like beer. Randy did this, so let me try it. And that started out, I picked some chanterelles that were local in season. I didn't get that many, and I was doing a lager, and I did a split batch. I actually did 4 gallons for the one lager, and I did a gallon for this chanterelles, and I threw them in at the end of the boil, and tasted the difference, and it was basically like a Helles or something along those lines. And the one with the mushrooms, after I tasted them side by side, when I did all my fermenting and lagering and whatnot, the one with the chanterelles was phenomenal. It was like phenomenally malty and maybe a little diacetyl-y from the chanterelle mushrooms, which added like an apricot nuance to the beer. And then I got involved. I decided this club, this Mid-Hudson Mycological, there were people doing workshops, and it's way above me. I mean, I could identify maybe about 10 different mushrooms safely. That I know 100%, and if anybody that picks mushrooms that is going to pick be 100%. They were teaching me all kinds of things, so I figured, let me open up. I know beer, and proposed it to the president. We did of the club that we do a workshop with beer, and they're really enthusiastic. And the thing went in the local eating magazine, and there was a response to it. And it was exciting. People was exciting. I learned stuff from them. They learned stuff from me. And that kind of got me really kind of getting rolling. And since then, I did a few other beers, which we'll be discussing.
So I guess we should say, lay down some safety tips not only brewing with mushrooms, but consuming mushrooms as well.
Right. And that should go with any foraged food, not just mushrooms. Everybody's got a different physiological thing. I could have wheat, and maybe you're gluten tolerant. I'm just using that for an example. That's one thing. If you're going to try mushrooms, try them. Make sure you don't have any health issues or anything that's going to interfere with any medicines you're taking. That goes with commercial mushrooms. That pretty much goes with anything. Make sure. And if you do try a small sample, make sure you don't have any physiological symptoms. Check with your doctor. If you have any concerns about that, definitely stay away from it. And then the other thing would be going out and picking, let's say, chanterelles, per se. There's some deadly mushrooms out there. There's the deadly jack-o'-lantern. It's not deadly, but you get very, very sick. And I've heard some stories of people that say, oh, yeah, I know what I'm doing. And they picked them and they've gotten very sick. So definitely don't go buy a book or go online and just use that as, per se. You would check it 2 or 3 times. I would definitely get involved if there is. I mean, a lot of people doesn't have a local mushroom group. I happen to be lucky and I accept, but be 100% sure of what you're picking. Another thing is any mushroom you pick, if you're 100% sure, chanterelles are supposed to be the exception that you can eat raw, but make sure they're cooked. There's pathogens, but there's all kinds of microbes and everything else, and toxins that actually are present until you cook them. So make sure if you're 100% sure, even chanterelles, I would say, is cook them too.
So you can denature any or some of the toxins with heat.
Right. Well, if you look where they grow sometimes, even that, you know, they just grow it in a wet, damp. I said I would not even, you know, I would not eat any mushroom raw at this point. You know, even, well, the button mushrooms, I guess, are safe that you buy at the supermarket, but even those you have to wash off and rinse. Now, you can buy mushrooms. Some of these I did, the chanterelles I did buy from Oyster Creek Mushroom Company in Maine. She was there. They were dried. Chanterelles usually come out by June in this area till about September. Excuse me. It was early May, so I bought dry mushrooms the year before, and I used them, and they work just as well. So if you can't buy commercial mushrooms, if you're going to do it and you know you have a thing, maybe that's the way to go to start out with.
So let's get some hints on how to use mushrooms in beer through these four beers that you sent us. Let's start with let's just do it in the order that we tasted them. I tasted them kind of in the way that I thought we should taste them, in the order of, you know, kind of flavor dominance. So we started with what I thought would be the lightest one. It turned out to be a Berliner Weiss made with, is it reishi mushrooms?
Right, that is correct. It's reishi mushrooms. They grow on, there's a big medical, a lot of medical people believe that there's a medical significance to them. I would suggest you go to CatskillFungi.com. There's a lot of information on there. He makes commercial tinctures. So, but anyway, there it is, beautiful. I don't know if they grow down in your area. They might. They grow on dying, usually it's on pine wood. Around here we have hemlocks that were beautiful hemlocks that were 3 or 4 feet diameter, are all dying off from a blight, unfortunately. The good thing, if there's any good thing about it, is that these grow on here, around here. They're multicolored. I've seen it for years, and I never knew you could use it for anything. I thought there was like, those things, this is weird. You can't make anything out of them. Well, I since learned that you can. And I used them in primarily for bittering. They make a tincture that you can make a tea out of them, and it has, which is a good way to try them, actually. And those you can get commercially. You make a tea out of them, and add a little sweetener, a little honey, or a little demerara sugar, or maybe a little sugar. And if you taste it, you'll taste it. It's got like this agrostino kind of bitters kind of thing to it, but different bitter. It's a different hop than hop bitter. And so basically I did a 60% wheat. I did a little oats in it, a little untraditional, and some Pilsner malt. So I boiled it for maybe 20 minutes, which is not traditionally used a lot of times, but I boiled it anyway. And then I cooled it down to about 60 degrees or so. And I dosed it with a couple tablets of the probiotic. So anyway, I let that go for 4 or 5 days, and that subsided. I went up to 170 degrees and kind of sort of pasteurized it. And then I cooled it down and aerated it again. And then I pitched the lager strain. The dry, this 3470, the white stoffen, I guess the yeast. And then I dry hopped it with Citra.
Well, it's delicious. So let's go to the tasting of Steve and me tasting the Berliner Weiss with reishi mushrooms. Steve Wilkes, welcome back to the studio up here over the garage.
Thanks, James. This is a wonderful experience.
And we just got started.
We just got started.
We are tasting the Berliner Weiss with, I'm going to say, it's reishi mushrooms.
You got me. I think that is how you pronounce it, though.
And we like it quite a bit.
Yeah, I was really shocked. So let me give you some backstory here, dear listeners. James says to me, "What are you doing after work?" "I've got some mushroom-flavored beers." Right away, I think, I need to be somewhere else. But I'm a sport, you know. So I... So he pours this beer, which is kind of cloudy. It's not a bright beer.
No.
Is that right?
No, it's not clear. It is cloudy.
Yeah, it's like a Hefeweizen in the way it looks. But I'm thinking, oh man, mushrooms. I'm going to need some ranch sauce, you know, some ranch dressing to dip it in. I just don't know. But I tasted it, and it's lemony, and it's citrusy, and it's almost got a rattler kind of thing going
a little bit. That's a good description.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like Andy Sparks likes to take like Avery IPA and mix it with the, is it grapefruit? Rattler thing.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the brewery? Is it Spiegel?
Spiegel? Yeah, Spiegel,
anyway,
Spiegel.
He does like a blend of that in the summertime, and it's really tasty, and I can't remember what he calls it, but it's really nice, and it reminds me, now that you said that, a lot of this. This is very nice, very tasty.
Yeah, I use prune juice and diet squirt. I call it a hurry up.
Now, you shouldn't be too afraid of mushrooms in beer, because we're already used to consuming fungus in our beer.
That's right.
Yeast is a fungus, and I would assume that that mushrooms are at least a distant cousin.
Well, you know what I noticed? It's a little bit different in this Berliner Weiss than other Berliner Weisses I've had, is it has more body. Or does it to you? It seems like it has body, but not from malt.
Yeah,
and so I'm attributing that kind of more full flavor to the mushrooms.
There's along with the citrusy flavors, there is a tiny bit on the middle of my tongue. There's almost a cinnamony or gingery kind of thing going on. There's like a spice going on, and I don't know if that's from the mushrooms or if it's from hops, or we don't have the recipe here. We're just kind of tasting these blind with just the names on. But boy. Luckily, we got a big bottle of that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Now, this is a very nice beer, and if you had just poured it for me and not told me a thing, well, I wouldn't know. I mean, you can't taste a mushroom,
right? And you know, I'm taking encouragement that my lips aren't tingling, or you know, there's no numbness. we're trusting Ray to have picked out the proper mushrooms.
Right.
You know, if he picked some of these himself. But you know, so that we don't wind up with a case of rumus aglumus.
That's right. Start quoting Cheech and Chong, which even I won't stoop to.
I wonder how many people got my rumus aglumus reference. I'm not going to say where that comes from. If you don't know it, you're going to have to Google it. But anyway, our verdict on the Berliner Weiss is very, very good.
Yeah, two thumbs up.
Yeah, very nice. Citrusy and a little spicy. And very drinkable, and good job. And so, Ray, I got kind of a cinnamon or a ginger flavor, and you said that you used the reishi mushrooms for sort of bittering. Do you think that sort of cinnamon or ginger flavor came from the mushrooms?
It's possible. You set you some, you could have ground some up and boiled some in some tea, probably tasted it like that. It could be. It could be from the maybe from a little bit from that and from the citra. I know citra is kind of really great when it's fresh. I'm kind of learning when it ages, you lose that kind of real bright lemony citrusy thing, and you have some other compounds. So I'm wondering if they're playing off each other, you know, from the fermentation and then from the reishis, because the reishis are pretty complex. And I was a little bit heavy-handed because on them, grated. You got to use like a wood rasp on them. They get pretty hard. So I use like a grater, because it's like probably five times heavier than the hardest Parmigiano cheese that you'd ever grate. So I grated probably, 16 grams or something along those lines in it. And, so I don't know. Yeah, it's possible, because I said it was only, you know, it was that the citra hops, and then they had that fermentation from the, which was like kind of weird tasting for a while. That kind of dissipated from the fermentation, but it could have been the fermentation and the reishi mushrooms, you know.
It was delicious. And Steve said that it had more body than he expected in a Berliner Weiss, so maybe the mushrooms helped in that as well.
Yes, I think there is. And one thing I did do a reishi mushroom beer. It was like everybody's called everything a saison now, if it's dry Belgian-y. But I would call it a pale ale, and I'd call it saison that I did maybe 3 or 4 years ago that I did with East Kent Goldings. It was basically mostly Pilsners, a pale ale malt. And I heavily hopped it at the end. But anyway, I made that beer like 3 years ago, and I was still drinking that till early this spring. And it was a smaller beer. It was like, 12 Play-Doh, 13 Play-Doh, so 1057 in that area. And that beer, even though it was refrigerated, small beers like that at 3 years, they usually just kind of get stale. And that beer really just kept its freshness to it. So I'm wondering, there's supposedly some preservative properties to it, and I'm wondering if that kind of transmitted to the beer, plus added some body to it, too. It definitely does change the mouthfeel a little bit, or perception of mouthfeel anyway.
So let's move on to the second beer. The second beer, I'm not sure what you would call it. It was made with the chaga mushrooms, and it came in the bottle with the plain gold cap. So tell us about that beer.
Okay, that beer was a chaga mushrooms. I was telling you before when we were offline about we had a snowstorm before Thanksgiving. We lost the birch tree. It had some chaga growing on it, which chaga grows on birch trees. And they use it for a fire starter. The Inuits have been using it for making teas, and there's all kinds of helpful things. Helpful things about the things. You can go on to that website I was mentioning before for the things. But basically, I did the chaga mushrooms and some twigs from this birch tree, a little bit in the beginning of the boil. Basically, I did a partial mash where I used the Williams Munich Brewing Munich malt, which is a German Munich malt extract, and some biscuit malt and some special B. And then for bittering hops, it was real simple. East Kent Goldings, I think about an ounce and a half, and the opening gravity was around 1065 in that area. Unfortunately, I lost the notes for that one. So specifics on that, but I do remember that's basically what I did with that one. So that was a kind of a spontaneous beer.
And how much mushrooms and how did you prepare them and when did you use them in the process?
Okay, the chaga mushrooms, basically. The chaga are like the reishis. I used them at the beginning of the boil. I grated them in, like the reishis. I grated them in. It's almost like a truffle kind of looks like. If people knows what truffles look like, they kind of look like that. They get big and hard. I grated some in, grated again, probably about 15 grams, 20 grams at the beginning of the boil, and used that one. I did have East Kent Goldings in the beginning of the boil, 60 minutes. Did that. At the end of the boil, at flame out, I did another probably 3 or 4 grams, and then I did a vodka tincture at bottling. So another few grams, grated some, put in some vodka. That way I was kind of, just tried it. So I okay, maybe just a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that. And that's kind of how I finished it and put some priming sugar. Actually, I used some jaggery, if you're familiar with that, which is a coconut sugar from India. Yeah, very, really cool stuff. And I used that for bottling, and that kind of gave it a little malty profile too, which I really thought worked well with the chaga. And for that, the yeast I used was the Spencer's. If you're familiar with the only first Trappist brewery, I'd only certified Trappist Brewery is Spencer Brewery in Spencer, Massachusetts.
Sure.
I don't know if you have their beers or one beer they have. It's great, but another thing about the beer is the yeast is really super viable. So I had, you couldn't get that in New York State when I was here, but I was on my way through Massachusetts, I picked up a 4-pack and I noticed how lively this stuff was, and I cultured some like super quick and I yeast banked some, and that's the yeast that did this beer. So it's a good plug for them to buy the beer for the yeast because it's really, really viable. And there was a big cake of it on the bottom. But I said I stepped it up with a couple smaller beers, but that's the yeast I used for that. And it's great yeast. And I'm sure it added to the complexity of that beer too.
Well, it was tasty, as you will hear with the tasting from Steve.
Okay, we're on to beer number two. And all we know about it is that it had a plain gold cap with, I'm going to say, chaga mushrooms?
Again, I haven't got a clue how to pronounce that, but yeah, I'd say chaga or chaga.
We go from daylight to dark in this one because it's a how would you describe the color? It's a reddish.
It is a reddish hue.
Kind of a reddish hue.
Yeah.
From the light golden of the of the previous one, and which was also highly carbonated, we didn't talk about it. This one, I get toffee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, toffee for sure. Yeah, I was going to say raisins, and it's a little spicy to me. I don't really taste ginger in it, though. Watch, there'll be ginger in it. Mm-hmm. But it kind of reminds me of a ginger snap, so maybe I get some molasses kind of thing going. Mm-hmm. And I would be willing to say that it could possibly be just slightly oxidized, but ever so slightly. You know, there is that kind of sweet spot, in my opinion, of oxidization. And honestly, Mom, I've only had one. And so I feel like I get a little bit of that, but it might just... Oh, and dates.
Oh, yeah.
Do you get it? I get kind of a date sugar.
Yeah, it's all that dark fruit stuff. But toffee, to me, it's like a Werther's Original, you know, it's that toffee candy.
Yeah.
You said earthy when I first poured it, and I get that as well. Maybe that's from the mushrooms.
That's what I was going to say. When you poured it and took a big nose hit, you know, I just smelled mushroom. The first one I couldn't smell or taste anything that reminded me of a mushroom. Mm. This one, it was almost like, and all you cooks out there will get this. When you open a package of mushrooms, you can smell them. They smell woody and mushroomy, and there's no smell quite like it in the world. That's what this smelled like to me. So,
it's a very complex beer.
Yeah.
When I tasted it, I didn't. It was that moment where I was like, whoa, what am I tasting? You know, I had to go through the file catalog in my head of, you know, to try to find descriptors to go along with what I was tasting. I'm going to assume there's another beer that I guess we're going to have next that's a double. This, to me, tastes like a double.
Definitely tastes like a double. So, yeah, this is a Belgian beer all day long. We don't know anything about it, really, but I think it's got a Belgian yeast, and it certainly drinks and looks and smells very doubly.
Yeah, you get the sort of darker grain flavor as well as a darker sugar flavor as well, and they're kind of melding together.
But any of the kind of stout characteristics. There's no black patent malt or chocolate malt in here that I can tell.
Right.
And I mean, there wouldn't be in a double, but I just mean it's not a dark beer like that.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's more of it when you use like a dark specialty grain, a crystal malt.
Yeah.
A dark crystal malt is that kind of raisiny dark fruit character that you get from that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow, that's
super
I'm
good.
Really impressed.
It's also really alcoholic. This is a man's beer. This is not something you take out on a
But I like it too.
I like it too. This is a seafarer's beer.
Not saying that ladies can't enjoy a higher alcohol beer.
I know. I wasn't trying to be misogynistic there. I could use a good massage about now.
Boy, that's good.
Yeah.
So was there, I don't remember hearing you say that there was sugar in the brew. Was there sugar added to this beer?
Yeah, there was a little, I put some jaggery there. It's one of my favorite brewing again. Randy Mosher kind of turned me on to jaggery, and luckily we have a great Indian market that's not that far from here, and I go over there. It's right next to this big beer store, and I think I go in there before I go to the beer store because there's some great ingredients, and one of them is jaggery. So yeah, that definitely adds a kind of you took the beer and mixed it with maple syrup and kind of that kind of flavor. It'd be almost like an amber candy sugar, and that's really cool. So I used that in there too. I think I used maybe a half a pound of that.
Well, it was delicious. And Steve said that he detected kind of an earthy, mushroomy characteristic to the flavor, and he definitely smelled the mushroom in there. Do you think that that's what he was smelling?
Yes, chaga definitely will. It's a commercial product. You can even buy that on Amazon. Anybody that wants to, you can buy the powder, which I don't know how well the powder would be. Grate some up, put some in some tea, and I've had chaga tea, and it does have that kind of earthy, warming. But not the umami kind of thing where you would, if you use like portobello, has that umami kind of soy saucy kind of thing. It has a definitely an earthy thing that kind of, I think, really lends well. And I want to definitely try some lighter beers too. I think it'd be very interesting.
Well, speaking of a lighter beer, the next beer was lighter than the previous one, the Chaga Mushroom one, although it is still a dark beer. This is the Chanterelle Mushroom Double or Double.
Okay, that beer was done, I mentioned it before, for a mushroom club that I'm part of. I volunteered to do a workshop. I did it on National Homebrew Day, and I had people come over. And I showed them the brewing process. So I did a malt, partial mash, so people kind of understand the grain part of it, but also people got, okay, this is what you do here, and then you add the malt extract. You're kind of doing the same thing, but both ways. So what I did with that was, I used 5 pounds of Maris Otter, 8 pounds of the Williams Munich again, kind of really like that for darker beers, got a real nice malty profile to it. I used some biscuit malt and a little bit of honey malt, and about 6 ounces of the Special B, and just a touch of Carafa, not much. Just kind of like powdered some up, put it in there just to kind of add some little color, and then a little bit of 80 Lovemon crystal, maybe about an ounce or two. I don't know how much that did, but just for a little bit of coloring. So I wanted to get that reddish hue because to kind of like bounce off what the chanterelles went off of. So as far as the chanterelles, a little profile of them. They're the most wonderful mushrooms. Anyone has to try. You have to try chanterelle mushrooms. They're the most amazing. They're apricot-y. They actually make a schnapps in Germany that they use it I'd love to get it. I haven't seen it in the States. Maybe it's here. But it's this very apricot-y, fruity kind of, but deep in depth, not like a light, bright, spritzy apricot-y. So anyway, I used those at the end of the boil, and I used 4 ounces at the end of the boil, a little bit at the beginning of the boil. And then it used to be East Kent Goldings. It was 2 ounces of East Kent Goldings. And it had an opening gravity about 1074. So it's a little bit high side for a Double. Actually, I watered it down a little bit to kind of bring down. It was even a little bit higher than that. Fermented that with the Bella Saison yeast, which, again, I was trying to show people to not get complicated. Show, listen, you don't really need to do a yeast start, liquid yeast and all this. So use the Bella Saison yeast. Because I thought that the closest, even though it kind of ferments on the dry side, it could have used something a little bit of malt there. I would have liked to use the 3787, would have been real nice. But that's the yeast I used to show people dry yeast. Fermented that at 62 degrees, started, and then I ramped it up to about 72 toward, within 2 weeks. And at the end of that, after fermentation, I let it set for a little bit. At bottling, a chanterelle, did a vodka with it, mixed it with it, did a tincture, and then, at bottling, and added used jaggery at the bottling. So that's it. And then the beer that was brewed. So that was brewed in May, National Homebrew is May 2nd, I think, or something like that. So I'm pleased with that. The only thing I would change with that recipe, I'd like to use a little bit of a more maltier, the yeast in that, because I changed that. But it still held up malt, I think, with a Special B and a little bit of crystal here and there. I think it held up very, it kind of held the malty side.
So we tasted it, and we liked it. Okay, we're beer number three. Beer number three. Which is a Chanterelle Mushroom Double. And I used to love the Chanterelles,
they were
they were big in the 50s.
They were. they had that song, "She was bred in Kentucky, but she's just a crumb up here." It was a doo-wop hit.
Oh, my God. I've never heard that one.
Well, I stole it from somebody, but I don't know where. I'm sure someone will know.
Okay. this one is lighter to me than the previous one.
This one, okay, if this is a double or a double, then the other one is like a Grand Reserve, something. I mean, it was a much bigger beer alcoholically, and I don't want to say flavor. That's not really quite the right word, but it just didn't have the mouth feel impact of the other one.
This one.
Yeah. This one doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's a little, it's more carbonated for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I get, when I first, my first sip.
No, it wasn't your first sip.
My first sip of this beer, I swear that I tasted something like strawberries.
Well, yeah, I could.
Maybe that I'm just, I don't want to put anything your head, but there was like a light fruity thing going on. So lighter than the previous beer. I'm not familiar with all the different kinds of mushrooms. You're more of a chef than I.
Well, and the only one so far that I recognize is the chanterelle. Well, actually the Reisha, I think I know what that is, but the chanterelle I definitely know because I dated her in high school. she was a sweet girl, but not too bright.
Now Ray says the chanterelles were out of season, so he used the dried ones from the Oyster Creek Mushroom Company.
One thing I think that I can tell in this one in particular, and actually the previous one too, I really feel like I can taste mushroom in this.
Hmm.
That there's a kind of woody
background
earth note. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That it's definitely there. This beer is so much lighter than the one we just had that I almost want to say it was a party guile. I'm probably dead. I mean, I'm totally making that up. But that one was, the first beer was so heavy and big, and this one is so much lighter, and yet they're kind of the same beer. Do you think that?
They're cousins, at least.
Yeah, cousins. No, that's sisters.
Identical cousins. Yeah. but it's tasty. It's very good.
That's really a good beer.
Yeah. I would say... yeah, the woodiness or the darker notes are definitely in the background. It's not like sipping a glass of dirt or anything.
No, or like a oak, you know, like the oak barrel aged
right.
things that you just feel like you're chewing on a desk leg. This is much more subtle than that.
Mm. Along with the kind of darker notes, the double darker notes is kind of a lighter. Fruity flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I said strawberry. It doesn't taste like strawberries, but
no.
that's the image that came to my mind, that kind of sweet but it's not an overly sweet beer.
No.
So it's kind of that brighter fruit thing going along with the darker notes as well.
You know, so far all these beers, even the Berliner Weiss, which I tend to think of as I love Berliner Weisses, but I think of them as fairly one-dimensional.
Mm.
Which someone, I'm sure, will blow that up. But nonetheless, these other two examples are incredibly complex beers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just pretty blown away at this whole idea that you can put mushrooms in a beer and it's going to taste good.
All right. Delicious again. So, Ray, I said that I was tasting strawberries. So I wasn't crazy. The chanterelle mushrooms, do you think that that's where the kind of fruity flavor was coming from?
Yeah, definitely. I said, as I mentioned earlier, I did a Hellas, and I added that. It changed it all around. It almost gave it this, not apricot, yeah, but I definitely some fruit thing, which with all the other things, I'm tasting this little bit of what's left of this beer right now. And I definitely, you could get a strawberry thing, some kind of fruit thing coming out of this. And I definitely promoted that kind of fruitiness.
That's interesting. You wouldn't have think. I mean, I think of when I think of mushrooms, you know, I think of you know, sort of the way Steve described them, kind of dark and woody, and you know, kind of on the darker side. And you don't think of mushrooms as being kind of, you know, like you said, apricotty or fruity or in that way.
Right, and that's why you would go to a supermarket and put button mushrooms or portobellos or porcinis, even though there is a couple breweries that are doing, there is some breweries that are doing those beers. But yeah, I to me personally, I don't know if those would, if you sat there and put any kind of the, you know, store-bought, even shiitakes, which I kind of grow on stumps. I grow shiitakes, and I just got a crop of them a few weeks ago. And I don't know if I'd want to use, I love shiitakes, and I love the flavor, and I love oysters, but I don't know. These mushrooms go with the beer, I think, and I think they go with a lot of styles.
And so the last beer was probably the most complex, It is a Chaga Spruce Citra Old Bruin.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's yeah, that's basically going into mixing some of my foraging, which basically I foraged on the property, on my estate, as I say it, like sometimes say it, that I try to use as much indigenous ingredients or ingredients I can look out my window and see. So one of them, my favorite ingredients, is spruce. And people go, oh, it tastes like pine salt and everything. And I've had some early beers that were done with the spruce extract, which definitely I agree with. Fresh spruce tips have a citrusy kind of bright flavor. And if you smell them, they're just, if you look at them, when they're just coming out and they're just turning the green, it's the first few weeks just before they really start turning the color of the tree. So I went and I picked a bunch of those. Again, I had some chaga, so I combined the two together. I did not use any boiling hops in that now. Yes, spruce will offer some bittering capability, as opposed to some preservatives. It was used back in the last 18th century to fight scurvy, so there's a lot of vitamin C in it. So it has a preservative effect. I used the chaga, and I basically did a 90-minute boil. I used a 3787 yeast. I did a single-step infusion around 100. I did a little bit, 154 degrees. That one, I used the Kolsch malt for the main thing. It's a malt that's from Germany. It could be the maltster. It's kind of like almost a Vienna. I used 8 pounds of that, and then I used 8 pounds of Maris Otter, and I used a little bit of Carafa and a little bit of Special B, maybe 4 ounces, and then a 90-minute boil. At the end of the boil, at flame out, I put Citra hops. I thought this, the brightness of the Citra and the brightness of these spruce tips would work together. And they did. The beers changed. Again, I mentioned before, Citra kind of disappears into the sublime really relatively quickly. So I love Citra hops, but there's something about that. So that beer was totally different when you had it. So anyway, after the 3787, I dosed it up. I have a house sour or a blend of stuff that I kind of dosed it with. And that kind of gives you that kind of, and that's why I call it an Old Bruin. It's my Old Bruin strain. And
how did you use the mushrooms in this beer?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. again, the chaga at the beginning of the boil. I used about 16 grams at the beginning of the boil. Then I made a little. At the end of the boil, I did not do anything. At the end of fermentation, towards bottling, I put through that in the secondary because it was a relatively big beer. The opening gravity on that one was probably 14 Plato, around 1070 in that 1080, 1075. I don't have the notes right here in front of me for exact. But it was a pretty substantial beer. So at the end of the day, anyway, I made a little, again, used some cheap vodka, ground it up, put it in there, let it steep for a few days, and then added it to at bottling with some with a little bit of maple syrup in that. So just a little maple syrup and added that, and a little maple and some Demerara sugar, not all maple syrup, and some Demerara sugar, and then bottle conditioned it, and it started to get this really kind of like a not a sour, but you tasted it. It's a very kind of a Old Bruin kind of flavor to it. So it is a really complex beer, and I'm surprised the spruce is still there. I think it definitely does lend, and I think the chaga and the spruce kind of bounced off each other. I think the Citra, when it was earlier, was definitely more tropical. It's that's changed, so I would probably change the hops to something else. Maybe some Simcoe, which I've done in spruce beers, or something along that, like, or some of the new Raku, or some of the new New Zealand hops, or something. I think would kind of work off that. So,
Well, we thought it was delicious, and here is our tasting of that.
Okay, this is the last one. This is the Chaga Spruce Citra Old Bruin.
I just am almost speechless.
I think we saved the best for last, don't you think?
I think we did too. This is just, I mean, I'm really cannot say enough how impressed I am by these four beers. And this one is just giant and full of flavor, and I can taste the spruce. I think I can taste the mushroom. There's kind of a heavy, well, wooden flavor toward the end that I'm glad he didn't put a lot of bittering hops in there, because those would have fought each other. So kind of that portion of the flavor profile is done with the mushroom, I think. And so there's this kind of heavy, woody, you know, parentheses, bitterness to it. But it's not bitter. It's just it takes the place of that bitterness.
If you smell it, I would swear that there was a little oak in there. I don't know if you put some oak spirals or if that's the mushrooms.
Yeah.
But it is a woody character on the nose, especially.
Yep.
The toffee, you know, the Werther's original thing is in there as well. But it's not overly sweet, again.
No, it's not.
It's well balanced. I am getting a bit of the spruce, but it's not like overly spruce. But man, it's a tasty beer.
Yeah, it is. Everything you said, I just wanted to say ditto. I mean, it's a big winter warmer. It's got tons of dried fruit, maybe a little burnt fruit, but again, nothing stout like.
Are you getting any kind of citrus from hops?
Oh yeah. Well, oh, from hops.
It might be from the spruce as well. But it's
the citrusy or the piney flavor. I think I'm getting more from the spruce tips. Pardon me, I had a little piece of cartilage cut in my throat. I think I'm tasting the spruce tips more than I am hops. Because I'm not getting any bitterness. So I may be getting some hop aroma and some hop of flavor. But I'm not getting any kind of bitterness out of this at all.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
It is, you know, this is a beer that it tastes kind of fresh to me and doesn't taste oxidized at all.
No.
But it's one that might benefit from a little storage time, a little oxidation, just a little bit to bring some of the like sherry characteristics, you know, the darker
sherry, that's a great word,
characteristics of like aging a beer over time, you know, to kind of mellow it out a little bit, not too much, but you know, just to
do you have another bottle of this?
No.
don't I was gonna say
tune in 6 months.
Yeah.
But no, it's delicious. Now watch it be like 5 years old or something. But
right. Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't really know what to say. This is all four of these beers are outstanding. I would not any one of the four, if I hadn't known that there are mushrooms in them, I don't think I would have ever guessed there are mushrooms in them. Having said that, knowing it and knowing what mushrooms taste like, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I get the mushroom. But man, what a great brewing effort.
Yeah. Very well done.
Yeah.
All the beers were very well done and well balanced, and I would have been proud to have made any of these beers.
Absolutely. Very proud to have made these. And I'm always surprised. You know, we've been doing this show now since, what, 2006, 2000, late 2005? I'm always shocked. So this, in all this time...
No, you're going to jinx us.
We've never had a mushroom beer before.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say nobody sent us a bad beer.
Well, no, that's happened. We just don't talk about it.
Reference deleted.
Reference deleted. But no, we've never. No one's ever sent us a beers made with mushrooms, and
not that I can recall.
And geez, Louise, these are good.
Very good.
So I would be curious, and I'm sure that when you do your interview, we'll know more will be revealed.
We will be clued in when we talk to Ray.
Yep.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, James.
So, Ray, I swore that I tasted some oak. Was there any oak in that?
No, I don't. I do use oak, but not in that. I think that might have been the bounce off of the chaga and the spruce, maybe.
Hmm.
Definitely no oak in that at all. No.
Well, maybe it was the mushrooms that I was smelling, but you know, definitely a woody character. Especially in the nose. Man, there was a lot going on in that beer, and super well done. We were very impressed with all of these beers. Nicely done.
Well, thank you.
So what's the biggest tip? We had a beer with spruce tips. Let's get some mushroom tips here. if for brewers who have never used mushrooms, aside from, you know, making sure that you have the safe ones, get them from a reliable source, or make sure that you know what you're doing, or go with somebody that knows what they're doing when they're foraging them. But what do you think is the biggest number one tip for someone who's wanting to brew with mushrooms?
I would say probably I'd make a beer that you're kind of thinking about, and I'd make a mushroom tea, and maybe, you know, obviously cool it down. And if you, you know, and add it a little bit, or do a little vodka tincture with it. And I would kind of, first of all, I would try to flavor it, kind of get an idea where you want to go. And I would probably reserve it for, you know, mushrooms are a kind of a special thing. So I wouldn't put it in your session IPA. Might be interesting, but I would do it in a special beer. And as I said, I would try doing it. Some textures and doing some teas and kind of get an idea of what matches, you know, what's going to work and what's not going to be overpowering. Denny Kahn did a Wee Shroomy beer, and I think that's public knowledge. And he did Chanterelles, and he did a big malty beer. So Chanterelles work big with malt. Chaga and Reishi, they work good as bittering. I think you could use a little bit at the end, but they're definitely a good bittering. A good bittering thing. And I think this beer, if you're willing to try this beer, I think you're creative. If you're willing to try to brew this beer, you're going to be creative. So be creative. Go out in the woods, bring a beer with you, sit under a tree, and think about it. And just be creative. That's the best thing. That's what inspires me most. I go out in the woods, and I go out and I'll grab a beer, and I look around, and I said, I'd love to do, you know, and just, you have a beer, and you relax, you're in a total zone, there's nothing, no phones ringing or anything like that, and be creative. That's the biggest thing I would say.
Thanks, Ray.
Oh, thank you, James. It was really great, and it was great talking to you, and I hope to do it again.
Well, thanks again to Ray. Again, I was amazed that you can get a mushroom that tastes like strawberries or apricots. Each one of those beers was wonderful, and I had a lot of fun talking to Ray, and hope to again someday. In the meantime, if you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com, or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com, and please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our support link, where you can throw a couple of bucks into the tip jar by subscribing financially to our podcasts. Be sure to check out our DVDs, Extract Brewing and Partial Mashing, Stepping into All Grain, Low-Tech Lagering and Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits. You can find them all on our site. And you can get a free Basic Brewing bottle opener with any DVD combo. You can check out our Basic Brewing shirts in the store as well. You can see a listing of the fine folks across the country who sell our DVDs on basicbrewing.com. If there isn't a vendor in your area, you can order them online in our online shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody who's continued to click on our Amazon.com link. We greatly appreciate the support there. Our featured products this week that were purchased through the link are Bun BT Velocity Brew 10-Cup Thermal Carafe Home Coffee Brewer, Black. And on the other end of the spectrum, Coleman Camping Coffee Maker. Thanks again, everybody. And remember, boy, cold weather camping with a good coffee maker. That's there you go. I can't tell who bought what, so no worries there. Just click on the Amazon.com logo. on our site the next time you feel like Amazon shopping. We greatly, greatly appreciate your support. Don't forget you can also join the American Homebrewers Association and subscribe to Brew Your Own Magazine through the associate links on basicbrewing.com. And we also have a link for the BYO electronic version as well. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.